Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
Fantastic weekend as we had the All-Star game right here. I was just talking to Mark Jean Greco about it. He's not an NBA guy. He loved every single minute. We'll talk about that. We'll spin you around baseball. A lot of people outspoken about the Astros. And it is great right now to talk to our old friend, Cubs legend. He'll be part of the Marquee Network. He's a teammate of ours with ESPN.
He's getting his arm loose right now. He's going to dispense some justice as well at those Astros.
Ooh, that's right. And He's been at Cubs camp. And Rick Sutcliffe joins us right now. Sut, how you feeling?
Marco, I'm feeling great, buddy. You know, we lost a little bit of weight between this time and last spring, so we had to get the uniform altered a little bit. And we didn't go up this time. We went down with the waist size. So, yeah, feeling good about things up to this point.
Well, what are you hitting the gun at, Sut? I mean, what kind of miles per hour are you producing?
You know, Marco, you'll remember years ago when I came to camp for a week with Lou Piniella. I was leaning on the cage, and, you know, he was asking me, what do you see? And I go, I don't see a whole lot, Skip. I think you're going to struggle this year. Well, he started telling the hitters that, and you'll remember, the next thing you know, they told me to go put your spikes on.
Oh, boy.
And, yeah, that's what I thought to begin with. But it actually ended up going pretty well. I was clocked at 83 miles an hour. I could still spin it for a strike. I proved my point that the team was going to stink that year, and they did. But the problem was I literally couldn't wipe my rear or comb my hair for about 3 weeks. So we just throw batting practice now. That's about the extent of it.
Okay. You know, I know how you felt about different things that went wrong where you break the unwritten rules. You've always been adamant about that, Sut. I want to ask you about the written rules. What have you found out back in the day that when you were facing the hated New York Mets, that they were stealing your signs illegally using electronics? How pissed would you have been?
Well, you can only imagine. And you know, that's the thing, Marco, that bothers me more than anything right now is that, you know, we were always told to tell the truth and tell the whole truth. I want to know what happened. I want to know what went on. And at some point, I'm going to reach out to either A.J. Hinch or Alex Cora. And being friends with them for as long as I have, I feel like they'll tell me. I don't know everything right now. But I'll be honest with you. What bothers me more than anything, and we've seen these guys and some of the players have compared them to steroids. And I go back to some of the replacement players, the scabs, and what they did and how angry Major League Baseball was about that. Those two things were individual choices. This was a collective team choice that they made. They all decided to buy in on this. And what I don't think a lot of people realize is, and Tommy, we all know this. Marco, we know it from being part of a team. It changed lives. There were coaches and managers that got fired. There were clubhouse kids that would have gotten maybe a full share of $400,000 or $500,000 that would have changed the way their family and a lot of their family's family might have lived the rest of their lives. There was so much that was taken away from the people that rightfully deserved it. And I look at, you know, the Dodgers are saying a lot of things. I don't really look at what happened in that Dodger series because, you know, Houston won a couple of games, including Game 7 in L.A. But I know you guys have, and if the fans out there listening right now, if you go back and look at what happened in the division series against Boston, Houston scored 8 runs in Game 1 and Game 2 in Houston to grab that lead. They end up winning it in Game 4. And then you go back and look at the LCS against the Yankees. That's right. The Astros won Game 1, Game 2, Game 6, and Game 7 in Houston. They lost every game in New York. That's where all of a sudden I just go, wait a minute. The people with Boston, I believe that was John Farrell. Later on in the series against the Yankees, it became Joe Girardi. lives were changed because of the choices. It wasn't a mistake. Don't get me wrong. A mistake is something you do one time. A replacement player, a steroid guy, those aren't mistakes. Those are choices. And these were just horrible choices made by those guys. And I know you might think I'm talking around it, Marco. You saw me play. Anybody that saw me play knows exactly what I would have done if something like that had happened.
Sut, you're in the game. You know so many people in this game. Do you speculate that it goes beyond the Astros? I know the Red Sox, there's an investigation in the Red Sox. We won't learn about what all happened there for a week or so. But is that where it stops, Sut? Or do you speculate that other teams could have been doing similar stuff?
I think it stops there.
Okay.
And I'll be honest with you. I think that the art of sign stealing that has gone on forever, where if you're a catcher and you're moving too soon or if your signs are too simple to pick up, if we get a runner to second base, then all of a sudden, you know, that's shame on you because it's easy and every team's trying to do that. One of the stories that I think back on was if you go back and look at Greg Maddux's first year and how much he struggled, we were all trying to figure out what's going on here. We can't figure out. He's actually at time making quality pitches, and they're getting crushed. And then all of a sudden, we saw a guy. I was sitting with Dick Pohl. We saw a guy hit what should have been a stand-up triple, and he stopped at second. And we're going, what in the world's going on there? Well, after the game, when we went up and looked at the center field camera with the runner at second base, Greg Maddux, with his fastball and changeup, was tipping every pitch. And you know what? That's not the fault of the other team for relaying that to the hitter because they could see what was going on in Greg's glove. That's our fault. That's our fault for not being able to pick that up sooner.
You mentioned back in the day watching you pitch, knowing what you would have done. So if you were playing today and you were to face the Astros early in the year, would you take justice into your own hand?
Well, if it affected me, maybe like it did Yu Darvish, maybe like it did some of Chris Sale. Go back and look at what Bregman did to him in that series against Boston. The problem is, Marco, if you go out there and you drill somebody in this day and age, you're going to get suspended for a long time. You're going to lose a lot of money. Back in our day, they had to warn you. So in a lot of ways, I felt like we were able, a little bit like hockey, where we were able to police our own game. If somebody did something stupid, they stood there and watched a home run or whatever, they didn't hustle. I mean, you had an opportunity to drill them. Okay, then the umpire's going to warn you. But that was kind of the way of taking care of business. You know that there were four or five times in my career where I didn't want to get suspended again. I felt like I needed to take my turn on the mound. I just went in the opposing clubhouse. I didn't care if they were all there. I mean, it was a little bit like Anthony Rizzo with what he did with Cincinnati. You know, enough's enough, and you go take care of the business as a man rather than just throwing at somebody.
Aren't we talking about this, Sut, as, you know, potential for players dispensing justice? Because the commissioner didn't? And if you were the commissioner, how would you have dished out the punishment for this Astros team and the players? Because a lot of them, none of them individually got punished.
Well, I'll be honest with you. This is kind of a slippery slope for me, knowing that I've got the ESPN hat, knowing that I'm in spring training with the Cubs, and knowing that I work with you guys, and knowing now that I'm with Marquee. You know, it's one of those things where if you're Trevor Bauer, you know, or if you're Cody Bellinger, or a lot of, you know, you can come out and say something. I got to be careful. I got to be honest when I start talking about the commissioner of baseball. He's been a friend of mine for a long time. I've known him back when, you know, he was working underneath Bud Selig and all that. So, I, you know me. I'm as outspoken as anybody you know, but I got to be careful with that. I don't know all the information. I don't know everything that went on. I do know that for them to get all of the information, you kind of go back to, remember when Houston was stealing from St. Louis? And all of a sudden, this one guy, I think he went to prison and he was banned for baseball for life. There were a lot of other people that were guilty, but nobody would talk. Everybody
right.
had hired lawyers to where Major League Baseball couldn't get all the information. I feel like they did get all the information. I just don't feel like the public. I don't feel like I know everything that went on as of right now.
Right. All right, let's talk about the Cubs. You're in camp as always. You've been helping this
yep.
team out. You know David Ross as well as anybody because you worked with him as well.
Yep.
What was the message like today when David Ross delivered the speech to the team?
I tell you what, it was as positive as any meeting that I have ever been in. And, you know, I go back to Walter Alston. I go back to Tommy Lasorda, Bruce Bochy, Joe Torre. I've been there. I've listened to a lot of people. I love how it all started out. You know, David came in there with some levity. We had a good laugh. And then all of a sudden, Tom Ricketts got up there and talked about the incredible fan base and how important that is. I think for four straight years now, we've drawn over 3 million people. I remember back in 84. That was the first time that the Cubs, in my mind, I believe, ever drew over 2 million people. Crane Kinney got up there, and he spoke about the Cubs being involved in the community. And there's charts out there that over the last 3, 4, 5 years, the Cubs rank one or two in all of baseball as far as being involved in the community. So there were a lot of real positive things that started the meeting off. Theo got up there, and all he talked about was, you know, with spring training, it's kind of a sense of renewal. You know, he talked a little bit in a roundabout way about Houston, but it reminded me of coming up with the Dodgers and how one of the things that was always talked about was when you win with integrity. And that's something that, you know, you can't take away from the Chicago Cubs. They've always done it that way. But the thing about Rossi was when he got up there, about half the room was told to leave, okay? The people that weren't going to be involved, that he didn't think at any point would be with the Chicago Cubs in 2020. The passion came out. And, I mean, he looked you in the eyes and he says, I know what winning looks like. Okay, I've been a part of winning, okay? And I know what it looks like, and I know that that's the way we're going to go about things in this camp. And I'll tell you, as I heard him talking up there, and I thought back to when, I really thought back to when I was in AAA in 1978. I had a great year. I was on the same staff with Bob Welch and Dave Stewart, Ted Power, Fernando Valenzuela. We had nowhere to go. The big league staff was locked up with Don Sutton and Hall of Fame-type pitchers. There was nothing for us to do. Well, eventually it became our time. Yeah, I got to the big leagues in 79. Everybody else started coming up one by one. But I think about that with David Ross. It was his time. Okay, when you've done everything that you can, when you're totally prepared to get to the big leagues and do something at that level, you've got to open up a spot for that guy. If we wouldn't have signed David Ross, I know for one thing, he'd either be in Boston right now, he could be in San Francisco. There were a lot of options for him. There's a lot of places he could have gone if the Chicago Cubs wasn't the place that he wanted to be. And I honestly feel like, it was really a no-brainer. The front office had decided to make a change, and if you're going to do it, you've got the guy right there waiting to take over the reins.
It's really good stuff there, Sup. Before we let you go, we had great stuff with Charles Barkley. And if you remember the last time we had you at Chicago Cut for a broadcast, you were the one dishing stuff out.
Uh-oh.
And Chuck didn't forget about that.
Turn the tables.
I want you to hear Barkley talking about his good friend Rick Sutcliffe.
The older Rick get, the better he was. The Cubs hadn't won something in 100 years, and he was part of those 100 years. I don't know why he talks about how great he was. Like, Sutcliffe is one of my best friends, but if you just close your eyes, you think, I think I'm having drinks with Sandy Koufax. When you just hear him talk, it's like, am I having drinks?
That's outstanding. But you know that when the next time he comes on,
and
he's giving it right back to you.
You know, that's the best thing about Sut. That's the best thing about Seth. We've been friends forever.
He's a tough SOB, isn't he?
He is, man. But you know what? At the end of the day, you just want people to say, man, he was a good dude.
Oh, Seth's a good dude.
Seth's a good dude. Yeah. Because, you know, there's guys we say, oh, man, what an ass. We know people like that, too.
Yeah.
But Seth, the one thing we're going to say, oh, Seth, he good dude, good dude.
What'd you think there, Seth?
I got to tell you guys, the first time my daughter Shelby met Charles Barkley, they were in the playoffs against the Chicago Bulls. And that night, the night before, we all went out to dinner. We had a great dinner. Shelby had met Michael Jordan. Well, after the game, we were supposed to go down and say hello to Michael. He was going to sign a basketball and a jersey for Shelby. Chef Hans, as you guys remember, he grabbed us and we went across the court. And Shelby stopped and she goes, Dad, I want to go see Charles. And I'm like, well, we could go see Michael now. She goes, Dad, I want to go see Charles right now. I feel sorry for him. If you go back and look, I think he scored 35 and had 20 rebounds. You know, he had a typical great game. Shelby gave up going to see Michael because she wanted to go over and make sure that Charles was okay. That's the impression the night before that he had at dinner on my daughter. And it's not just me. You guys have known. I'm sure if your kids have been around Charles, there's really, you know, he talks about not wanting to be a role model. Well, when there's kids around, I don't know of a better role model than what he is. He's brilliant. He's terrific at what he does. And you know what? I say the same thing. I have a lot of fun with him. You know, I'm always going to pick on him being fat. I talk about why I'm always around him is because he's shorter than me and he weighs more. I mean, it makes me look good, you know. There's a lot. And another thing, you guys had to give away tickets to fill the room for his dinner, right?
Well, I mean, it was a VIP meet and greet. It was sold out pretty quick.
We never gave out one ticket when we filled the room for my deal. So I hope you guys let him know about that. And if not, I'm sure our buddy Dave Flom did.
Yeah. No doubt.
So you're the best.
Thanks,
later in camp, we got to find out who we need to watch for. So hopefully we could do it again.
Keep that weight off.
You know we will. When are you guys coming down?
Still to be determined, son. TBD.
Oh, you got one of those budgets like Theo had this way, right?
We went to the Super Bowl, yes. So we can't complain.
Yeah, we cannot.
Yeah. Oh, the Super Bowl. Oh, who won that? I forgot already.
Yes, your Chiefs. That's for sure.
Yeah. Hey, we've got Travis Kelce supposedly coming down here with the trophy. You know,
nice.
He was here last year. He didn't have a trophy to bring. He does this spring.
Wow, that's pretty awesome. Cool.
We'll let you know.
All right, guys. See ya. There you go. Travis Kelce going to bring the trophy to Cubs camp.
Well, in the NFL, it's not just a piece of metal, okay? In the Major League Baseball, it may be referred to as just a piece of metal.
With all those flags and stuff, yeah.
In the NFL, it's more important.
All right, so the cheating stuff. Chris Sale did speak today. He mentioned Chris Sale and how he's got a lot to say about the Astros. I'll play that. Rob Banford spoke. All that's coming up next.
Coming up next.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Bring Waddle and Sylvie with you at home or in your office. Just tell your smart speaker to play ESPN 1000.
You wonder how much this is going to cost Rob Manfred in a very important time in Major League Baseball. Because the collective bargaining agreement, or at least negotiations, is going on. Rule changes, a lot of, you know, we were talking about Manfred. Cap just tweeted the baseball needs a new commissioner. And, you know, people weren't happy with the baseball last year.
Yeah.
Has he mishandled this thing? Players are upset at him. He's become the, you know, I always liked him because he was a progressive commissioner and he was cool about tackling some of baseball's biggest issues. But he always angered the players with wanting to implement a clock or something like that. And you wonder now if how much this will hurt him and if the owners, you know, look to maybe make a change. I don't know.
Look,
are the owners upset about the lack of punishment for the players?
I think you could take a step back and objectively say that this wasn't handled correctly. And even he said when the interview with Carl Ravage that it, you know, that it hadn't gone well, and I'm paraphrasing. Look, I think the reason why you have people talking about vigilante justice being dispensed on the ball diamond because the
ball diamond.
Yeah, it's the old ball diamond. Because the commissioner failed to penalize the players.
Right.
So everyone's sitting in their own, you know, in their spring training facilities going, there's been no punishment for this for the players. Now, I would also say, you know, to people, why didn't they vacate the World Series title, or why weren't the players disciplined? The only conclusion I can come to is they weren't going to get the information without the assurance that none of that was going to be taken away. That's the only conclusion
right.
I can
Would
come
they
to.
Would they know as much now if they didn't get
well, let me
give
ask,
the players immunity?
Let me ask you this. If the commissioner's office went to the players and said, hey, we've got this investigation going on, and here's what we have. It's not going to go away. And listen, the players could have just denied if they felt they were going to have to give back a World Series ring or they were going to be suspended and was going to cost them money.
Sure. Here's Rob Manfred about this angered. I think this is the bite that angered a lot of people about, you know, they keep saying 2017 they cheated, but what about last year and the buzzers and everything?
Can I tell you 100% certain that it didn't happen? No. You can never know that. You gotta, you know, people tell you what they tell you. I will tell you the evidence on this issue was as consistent in the direction that nothing was going on as the evidence was consistent in the direction that there was inappropriate behavior in 17 and 18.
So but a lot of people did not like that regarding the
buzzers. Do you think they're getting any participation at all if they don't promise the immunity that came with it? Like, you're not going to get suspended and we're not going to take away your World Series championship ring.
But remember, Mike Fiers was the first guy to speak. He wasn't a member of the Astros. If he's giving you stuff, isn't there ways to find it out without getting the players who are on the team currently?
You may get some of it, but are you going to get a conviction, so to speak, in a court of law?
Here's Chris Sale today. This is today, right?
Yesterday. It was yesterday.
Or yesterday. This is what Sut referred to. Chris Sale, like, he gave up a lot of runs in Houston in that series in 17.
Yeah, I think the game polices itself sometimes, and it'll be interesting to see how this plays out because I think you're going to see some stuff happen this year, and I don't know if it's right, wrong, or indifferent. You know, guys are certainly welcome to handle things however they want. Different people handle different things differently. And in this scenario, I don't think there's any right or wrong way. Just, you know, guys are going to do what they feel necessary. I think some people feel more cheated than others. And rightfully so. You know, I mean, I think people have the right to feel however they want to feel. Just their actions are going to be different, and however that plays out, it plays out.
Let me play one more from Sale on how they handled the whole scandal.
What am I going to do? Hold them at gunpoint, sit here and curse them out through a bunch of cameras? If I had something to say to them, I know those guys. I can get one of their numbers and text them and talk to them and face-to-face or whatever. But it happened. What are you going to do about it? You can sit around and cry about it, or I can get my ass to work, try to win a championship.
Listen, again, I mean, you've already heard from the commissioner's office that the vigilante justice is not going to play. And as I said earlier, and think about the irony, if that's the correct word, or the idiocy of a player is going to get suspended for throwing at an Astro while an Astro who cheated, no Astro has been suspended.
It's craziness. Yeah. Here's Dusty Baker on that. Dusty's their manager. He's already, Frank Thomas tweeted about this, that he found it very humorous that here's Dusty already telling people, please don't throw at us, and telling baseball to get involved.
You know, I'm depending on the league to try to put a stop to, you know, this seemingly, you know, premeditated retaliation that I'm hearing about. And in most instances in life, you know, you get kind of reprimanded for, you know, when you have premeditated anything. I'm just hoping that the league, puts a stop to this. And before somebody gets hurt.
So they cheated guys out of their careers, and now other players are going to say, now you're going to not let us handle our thing?
Listen, had the commissioner punished the guilty parties, I don't think you'd be hearing this from other players, from Chris Sale and others. If you suspended Altuve for a month, 6 weeks, whatever that would equate to in terms of your paycheck, your ability to play, how it would negatively affect the Astros' ability to get to the postseason, had the commissioner's office penalized the players, I don't think you'd be hearing all this talk coming from other teams. Now, I get it. You're saying, well, we wouldn't have gotten the full story if we hadn't agreed to give them immunity. Well, I'm not so sure that's the best route.
Wow, it's interesting you brought that up, because I was thinking, like, it doesn't even have to be like 6 months, or 6 weeks. If he had just given, like, Most of the players on the 2017 Astros team who are still on the Astros, had he given them like 10, 15, 20 games,
yes,
and said, look, you got to have two or three players serve at the same time, and then as the season progresses, each player has to serve their suspension, it would hinder the Astros
absolutely
potentially enough where they might have difficulty making the playoffs to begin with.
And I don't.
And you would be penalizing the players.
And I don't think you would have had this outcry from the other teams. It would still stink. Don't get me wrong. It still would hurt. But I think that you wouldn't be dealing now with people talking about taking, you know, the situation into their own hands. I would suggest this to, if you're throwing at guys, you're going to get thrown at. You put your own batters in jeopardy. You don't want to lose a key player to get hit. You may get suspended yourself. Beat their ass on the field. That's what I would say. And maybe that's just being too, you know, Pollyannish about it. You want to stick it to the Astros? See if you can force them to go 0-162 this year. Because that's really the only way you're going to get the retribution you want without having to pay a price yourself.
They're definitely going to get everyone's best. I have an idea on how you can hurt the Astros or make a point to the league. I want to share that with you before we do the good, the bad, the dirty, and it's all coming up next.
It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
We've got the good, the bad, the dirty coming up here in a couple minutes. Saw this from Phil Hughes. He tweeted this out. And I was wondering, like, if you could mold it a little bit. He was wondering if there could be a work stoppage until Astros are penalized, or if you want to make a point. Why not, if you're the team playing the Astros in spring training, you don't show up to the game? Just the day you're playing the Astros, we're not going to play you. And every team who's playing them doesn't play them. They want to get ready for the season. They're going to have to scrimmage every single day. Because the day that we have you on our spring schedule, we're just going to scrimmage ourselves. But we're not showing up to the ballpark.
But are you defeating your purpose of getting your team ready to go?
It's one day for you. It's every day for them.
Still. I mean,
what do you mean? I mean, I'm saying, like, today on February, whatever, whenever the games start, we're going to say we play them today. Today we'll do scrimmage.
Yeah, getting my young guys at bats against live pitching is more important to them.
One day.
Yeah.
There's 6 weeks of this.
Sure.
So
I'm not going to let them affect me.
Well, think about what you're doing to the Astros if every team did that. You talk about the young guys not seeing. You don't get to see our pitching. You don't get to see us. We're going to take our baseball and bat, and we're going to go home. And you're going to have to get ready on your own. And it will be one day for us, but it will be every day for you.
Yeah,
no,
I'm not floating your boat.
No. Mallor, Abdallah?
I like it as a protest, but I think logistically, the commissioner's office would put an end to that pretty quick.
What just could he do if every team did it?
Well, but you,
where are they in the grapefruit?
Are they
in Florida?
That's a good question.
I think because they're not.
I think you're right. Yeah,
West
they're
Palm
not.
Beach.
Yeah. So, but I think though too, you know, some fans are paying for tickets to see them play. And so I think he'd be mad.
If you're the opposition, you come to our camp and we'll sign autographs for you that day while we scrimmage. I think you can get around it pretty quickly.
I can't go over there that day.
Let's get to the good, the bad, the dirty.
The good.
It's gone! Oh, my God!
The bad.
That is so bad, that is absolutely brutal.
And the dirty.
I'm talking about nasty.
So many stories are running through my head right now.
Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN Chicago.
The good, the bad, the dirty. It's brought to you by Comcast Business. We'll go around the room. One thing good, one thing bad, one thing dirty from the weekend. Anything we experienced, sports or otherwise. Waddle, what's your good?
I mentioned this earlier. I found a lot of what's the presentation for All-Star Weekend was fantastic. I carved out a little bit of time to watch what Jeff Ross did for the roasting of the TNT guys, the Roast Master General. Isn't that what they call?
That they do.
Jeff Ross.
Fantastic.
It's about 5.5 minutes. To me, it was as funny as anything I've seen sports related in quite some time. So in a sea of fantasticness, this was worth your time.
There was one joke that one of the women said. Oh, here it was. One of the women in the roast say, Charles Barkley started his career with the 76ers, and he started his car tonight with a breathalyzer.
Yeah.
I thought that was a
good one. That was a good one as well.
And so they did that roast. I believe it took place on the House of Blues on Friday.
Yeah.
and then they ran it over the weekend.
Jeff Ross is always the best at that.
He is. So let me give you something like that, Waddle. I thought the TNT coverage was awesome, and I can go. Everything was great from the 3-point to the dunk to the All-Star game. That's a low-hanging fruit. When I was on the elliptical, I turned on TNT before the pregame. It was the hour before the pregame show. So this was 3 hours before the game. At 4 o'clock last night, they had a roundtable discussion on Chicago basketball. And that's what I loved about this presentation all weekend. They did a lot about our city. And I think there are only so many cities you can really do that with where the city takes center stage. So it was called Open Court Chicago Greats. And it was a round table with Tim Hardaway, Isaiah Thomas, Mark Aguirre, Dwayne Wade, Candace Parker, and Cappy Poindexter. And they all talked about what it takes to grow up in this city. And they talked about the Bulls of the 90s, and they talked about Derrick Rose, and they talked about their own career and how you get, you know, the Chicago tough mentality. I thought if it is on demand, this is a much must watch if you're a Chicago basketball fan.
Nice.
Meller, what's your good?
My good was the way the All-Star ended, the Elam ending, boys. I enjoyed the fact that the fourth quarter of the All-Star game was meaningful for once. And forget the fact that going forward, it would seem weird to me if they don't put this into effect. But I truly think that some point before our lifetime, we will see this take effect in the NBA.
Wow.
They will I do think at some point they will adopt the Elam ending.
Really? No more fourth quarter time?
I believe so.
No 6 minutes left in the game?
Correct. Because that's
target score.
That's when things break down and fouls happen and basketball is not always as much fun to watch if you don't have a thrilling ending.
Abdallah, what do you got?
My good goes to everything that people didn't see this weekend in Chicago. My good goes to the city of Chicago and all the events that took place and everything that was going on, all the parties, all the pop-ups, all the shoes, the streetwear, the concerts, the media events, the events for kids where they could get in touch with these players and get stuff signed and get pictures and everything. And if you say Kanye didn't do enough for the city, a lot of people this morning on CAP were saying, where was Jordan? Where was Kanye? They're the two most famous people. Obama was out here, but it's not like Obama's out can be out on the street signing autographs for people. You know, that's a security risk.
Even know if Kanye was invited, though.
Kanye was here.
He had a concert in the morning.
Kanye had a concert Sunday afternoon that I went to.
No,
and
I get it.
Friday, he was out in Wicker Park handing out literal tank full of shoes.
I'm not arguing with you, but I heard them criticizing him because he didn't perform. Do we even know if the NBA asked him to perform?
There was a picture going around that Windhorse put on his Instagram that had a bunch of microphones laid out in like bins, and it said Chance, Quavo, DJ Khaled, Lil Wayne, Kanye, and Bieber.
Lil Wayne.
Yeah, okay.
How many of those people actually performed?
All of them except for Kanye and Bieber. And Kanye was sitting there. He was sitting there with Kim. Courtside.
Don't you think someone was putting on a joke though with the Bieber and the Kanye?
I don't know. They could have. It was on Winforce's official Instagram. So I don't know. But the point is that the city did a great job. Everybody did. All the events were great. Thank God the weather was manageable. But everything that the city was involved with itself that people didn't get to see on TV was awesome.
Waddle, what's your bad?
My bad is traffic in Houston. I was in Houston, and I got to tell you. Anybody who complains about Chicago traffic, go to Houston and drive on their highways.
Really? Wow.
I almost found myself turned over in a ditch three or four times.
Why?
Because everyone out there is like...
crazy?
You think I drive crazy?
You're a lane changer.
I'm grandpa out there.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I was shocked.
All right.
Shocked. The traffic in Houston is horrible.
My bad is, and I say this knowing that Michael gave me so many great memories throughout the years as not only a Bulls fan, but as a reporter. And what he provided this city was so great with all those 6 championships and MVPs. And he's the greatest of all time. I just wish he would have been a part of this.
I agree.
That's it. He wasn't even in town for the game. He came in town earlier in the weekend and he left before the game. I think sometimes there are situations that are bigger than you. And I think it would have been nice if Michael was there and said a few things. That's me.
More Michael, more better this week.
Meller, what's your bad?
My bad is the fact that the Chicago Blackhawks concluded their Western Canada road trip exactly the way it started, with a loss to the Winnipeg Jets. making them 1-4 on the trip and propelling them down to seventh place in the Central Division.
Wow.
Things are going poorly.
A night after throwing eight nuts in the net, right?
Huh?
Yes.
8-4?
Yes. Like a squirrel. Like a squirrel, they had a good Saturday night. They found eight nuts, and then all of a sudden things went poorly again in Winnipeg.
I heard the guys saying, too, eight goals, none of them were power play goals. None of them.
That's par for the course for the Hawks these days.
What's your bad, Adala?
My bad is the disrespect that my guy, Derek Jones Jr., is getting for winning the dunk contest. Let me tell you, I stood next to Taco Fall this weekend. Chris Black and I had him on our show on Sunday morning. He is a very tall individual. His head literally touched the ceiling of the room we were in. My hand, now, I'm not the biggest guy in the world, but my hand looked like the smallest of baby hands, like a newborn baby's
hand. Looked like hand
Sylvie's hand. In his hand. You... Aaron Gordon did not clear Taco Fall. He did not. He almost knocked Taco Fall down.
Shame on him for not jumping over 7-6.
Yeah, exactly. Because you know what that is? That's a failed attempt, my friend. That is a failed. Just because the ball goes through the net doesn't mean it's a successful attempt. You didn't jump over the guy you were supposed to jump over.
The purist. The purist.
I
mean, Abdallah.
I could just put Chance out there all day and just jump over him.
You know why? You know why? Because Chance is 3'2". That's why.
Wow.
You could jump over him.
He's not going to like that.
Well, he doesn't like a lot of
things. Isn't that what Aaron Gordon did?
Yeah, that's exactly what Aaron Gordon did. He just put Chance out there.
He should have just put Chance out there because that's all he cleared anyway. I mean, poor Taco Falls is seeing a neck specialist now.
Yeah, exactly.
For having his head bent down.
That's my point.
I'm with you.
He didn't want you. He definitely did not want to do it.
By the way, you won money. You won money on the other
guy. Of course I did. That's why he's my guy. Here next. Yeah. Really quick, let's go through our dirties, Waddle.
My dirty is Carlos Correa, who I thought was the most sincere of the apologists for the Astros and then went sideways this weekend. Friday, I was like, now that's what an apology looks like. Saturday and Sunday, it went too far.
Yeah. What doesn't sit well with me is when you say false statements. If you don't know the facts, if you're not informed, this is America, Ken. You can say whatever you want. You can say whatever you want. But Cody Bellinger's job is to look for information, get informed, know the facts for sure before he stands in front of cameras to talk about other players. You should get informed. You should be informed before you talk about other players.
It makes me
if
so
you
mad.
Don't know the facts, then you got to shut the
That makes Whoa! Me mad. It makes me mad. You cheated. You opened Pandora's box. You have to live with it, pal. Don't really know the facts.
Pal. I think Cody Bellinger's job is to play baseball, not to investigate the facts.
That's right.
My dirty was Kim Kardashian's coat. I've never seen a winter coat like that, ever. Did you see it? Someone compared Swag. It to a sleeping bag. I mean, it looked like a sleeping bag on her body.
Maybe she should have stood out there and had Aaron Gordon jump over the coat.
That would have been incredible. That would have been a great
dunk. At least probably would have cleared it.
Yes. Look at you. You couldn't run or jump, and you're saying that now, because he couldn't clear Taco Fall.
Me being 53 years old and not being able to run or jump have to do with him not jumping
really
clearly
quick.
Over Taco
we're,
Fall.
We're behind, guys. What do you got, dirty?
My dirty gentleman is the NFL Network running a Mahomes marathon today, so if you're a Trubisky truther, steer clear of that. Patrick Mahomes already put up on his Instagram story a video of him watching the Mahomes marathon with all of his awards above the TV, so steer clear of that if you're a Trubisky truther.
He was at Cut on Friday.
He was. And my guys, wrapping it up, my dirty, Steph Curry's Instagram. Just look at it.
Yeah, this is whatever. You didn't hear about this one?
I did not.
I'll tell you about that next. What that in? And then this Taco Fall dunk. I mean, come on now. It's getting ripped. Oh, this is crazy. That's next.
You're listening to Waddle and Sylvie on ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
Follow at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87 on Twitter.
Taco Fall, who is 7'5". You dunk over Taco, you win.
Yeah,
you win.
He's 7'5".
You dunk over Taco, you win. Come on, man.
Look, I'm only 5'8", 5'9". I love all the people who are my height who are criticizing Aaron Gordon for brushing the head of Taco Fall. Oh, my God. He actually hit his head, so he didn't really clear Taco Fall, so he should be penalized.
Brushing the head? Brushing the head?
Whatever it was.
Hung his leg on his neck and almost made him fall over.
He did not hang his leg. He still cleared him. He still cleared him. Waddle made the comparison earlier to a high jump. It's not the high jump. It's a dunk competition.
I just love watching you defend the dunk like it's one of your two children that maybe made a bad thing go wrong.
But I told you, I actually didn't care who won.
I know, but you care about my opinion and Abdallah's opinion that the dunk was not 100% perfect.
I think it's dumb to criticize
dumb.
That.
We're dumb.
I think it's like, what? Come on now. That was what? His like eighth dunk? He totally improvised. He brought the tallest man out in the league. And he jumped
he
over him and he made the dunk.
And he sat on his head.
Yeah, he sat on his head.
And he almost broke his neck. He almost killed a man. He almost broke his neck.
Yeah. What about if Taco funny. Fall needs like neck surgery now?
Oh, if it was a bull, you know something would have happened bad right. like that. Yeah. If it was a bull, he'd be out for 4 weeks, at least.
He'd have been diagnosed properly.
Yeah. I think I'm equally excited about your defense, your adamant defense of our criticism of the dunk. I think that's good.
Because what wasn't great about I thought the whole thing was great. It's sort of like Huebner today or last night. Freddie, I was saying, I was complimenting the whole weekend. And I'm like, this is something that the NBA will remember for years. And Fred commented, or maybe minutes. The NBA, like, come on. Like, can we ever have fun? Like, why do we watch sports to begin with? To have fun.
To argue.
You know, we all want to be jaded. Yes, when this whole new All-Star thing was introduced, everyone was probably saying, boy, I don't understand this. This is all convoluted. You're resetting the scores. And what are you doing now? And you're picking teams and resetting the scores, and then you're playing with a target score. It actually worked.
It was entertaining. Fourth quarter was very entertaining.
It was entertaining. It served a purpose. So I'm just
worried that Taco Falls' neck is in trouble going forward. That's what I'm worried about.
You want to give him a massage? What do you want to do? You want a heating pad on that?
You have to stand on a chair. I'm not offering any physical contact with him. I'm just concerned for his health right now because that was not a clean dunk.
Like, guys, I'm not kidding. When you standing next to Taco Fall, when you know how you stand next to tall people and you have to like kind of look up to talk to them, like Charles Barkley's tall, Rick Sutcliffe's tall.
Right.
Like, I felt bad at how much I had to bring my neck back to look at Taco Fall
Think about how his neck feels now.
Well, he had to look all the way down
at
people.
You were straining to look up at his head, and now you're criticizing the guy.
Well, you should have cleared him.
He lost. He was docked properly. You know, so. You're going to bring out Taco Fall. You better jump over him completely.
Yeah. If you can't do what you're set out to do, don't do it.
Don't dunk over.
If you can't dunk over him, don't pull out a guy that's 6'5". Dunk over him.
That's a good point. Maybe just dunk on. You know, Kevin Hart. Bring Kevin Hart out and jump over him.
Muggsy Bugs, Spud Webb.
Nate Robinson was there. Jump over him.
Nate Robinson.
Listen, you don't even. I mean, look, you don't even want my. Just different. I'm not even a huge fan of the dunk contest.
I know you don't like tall people dunking either.
He's 6'8". Aaron Gordon's 6'8". So I would allow him, but I'm just not 6'10" or 11". Like Dwight Howard to me, get out. I mean, I wanted 6'5" and below. I'm entertained. That's to each their own. Like, I don't get all jazzed up. I love dunks. Like, when you're dunking on somebody else in the middle of the game, like, I'm all laying on my couch just screaming out loud. When you throw the ball off the backboard and dunk, okay, that's cool. That's not my thing.
I don't know. Sometimes when a 7-footer is less coordinated, I think it's kind of a cool athletic achievement to be such a good dunker. He's not just jumping and dunking. He's doing something creative.
Well, you know what, though? I think Wild's onto something. The most impressed I was of any dunk this weekend was Chris Paul.
There you go.
During the game?
Yes, his first alley-oop ever.
Don't act like you don't agree with me. You and I have the same conversation. I think the dunk contest is great for kids. It's awesome. But, like, for me, you know, I'm an old, crusty guy.
What do you say about grown-ups, too?
They're old and crotchety, and they... You know, I don't know. What do you mean?
What do you say about the movie Grown Ups 2?
Oh, the movie. Yeah, it's fun.
It entertains you.
Yeah.
Like, this ain't science.
It ain't science?
We have NBA guys creatively dunking, and it was good. Enjoy it and shut up.
Like, wow, now I mean, you're the master like, of fun? Now, if I don't agree with it, I got to shut up? Why do I got to shut up? Because I don't like the dunk contest as much as you. I mean, you are the epitome of telling fans how to enjoy sports. No, I thought you were.
I'm saying, like, criticizing all the different stuff. It's just fun. It is. Yeah. It's like I always say about eating gummy bears. You don't eat gummy bears to be nutritionally sound. You eat gummy bears because you want some candy.
Yeah.
I wanted some eye candy.
Good. We're glad you enjoyed it.
Bears.
I'm afraid that Taco Falls got a neck problem. That's all.
And then Steph Curry enjoyed himself on vacation. You saw the picture. And he was having a lot of fun with his wife.
God bless him.
Yeah. And that's a picture I think that's too much Steph Curry, to tell you the truth.
You're just having gummy bears and having fun. That's a fun picture.
Want to talk about the All-Star festivities? What'd you think? 332-3776. And are the Bulls really thinking about, quote, changing? That's in 2 minutes.
And a Daytona 500 update as well.